Chelsea were back to winning ways. 4 wins in a row now, with Lille and Southampton easily beaten. The youth continues to impress, especially against the Saints, as direct play rewarded us with 4 goals. And the name of this episode is Youth and Hoof.
So good. Well done.
So, as we say, morning, day or night, you are listening to the Chelsea Fan Conversations. Slight different this week, because we have some bad news. Keenan, the Canadian guy who's usually on this show, still alive, but he's been deported to Canada because he hadn't been given an extension of his residency here in Norway.
Mm-hmm. And as a Norwegian-based Chelsea podcast, it's nice to show both sides of society here, you know, the haves and the have-nots.
Yeah, it's not good. Yeah, well, he's going to be in good hands because he's going to stay with Rob, our producer. Very good.
Yeah. So cute. I just imagine them sharing like a small single bed and they're just going to be hugging and talking about Chelsea.
I think Rob's mom is Italian, so there's going to be Italian home-cooked meals.
Oh, what?
It's not bad.
That sounds alright, isn't it?
But yeah, so we're going to try to make the pod continue. We're going to try to continue through Skype. You just had to figure out how.
We will continue, but yeah, we need to figure out how we can get Keenan in here, like, from a different continent.
But Chris is still here. I'm still here. Chris, how are you?
Ecstatic, yeah, as usual.
How do you rate the Norwegian immigration system?
Oh, it's really entertaining.
It's entertaining,
it's
yeah.
It's really entertaining. You never know what they're doing.
But it's not just going to be us here today, because we have a guy. His name...
We found someone on the street.
Not really. He's French Rwandan. He's born in... Sorry for the French expression there. Tournon-en-Brie, Paris.
Wow.
At first, he was strangely a Marseille fan. But he became a Chelsea fan when his dad moved to London.
So you were just a Chelsea fan then, yeah?
Cedric Rudasingwa, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. I need to explain myself, man. I became a Chelsea fan a little bit before my dad moved there, because I wasn't a Drogba fan. I was more like a Desailly, Deschamps fan, you know, that era. That's when, you know, I discovered Chelsea. And it's been fun watching them, you know, because I think the late 90s, that's where we start picking up, you know, on the international level, you know, and having, you know, players like Zola. And, you know, Deschamps was a World Cup winner. Coming at Chelsea, it was like, you know, this is the team I'm going to settle. Because Marseille was good, but, you know, a lot of disappointment. And I was getting tired of getting my ass kicked at school, you know, because, you know, I lived in Paris, you know, supporting, you know, the villains, you know, in the south.
Marseille are the most popular team in France, aren't they?
I don't know. Like, yeah, one of the most popular. But you have teams like Saint-Étienne, you know, like you mentioned Lille and Montpellier. Yeah. You know that have Lyon,
yeah.
Who has.
So it's quite a few before Marseille.
Yeah, no. Like Marseille will be definitely top top three.
Yeah,
definitely top three. But and you know that, and the difference is like in Marseille, you know, football is more like a religion, you know, it's like everybody, you will never see anybody in Marseille supporting another team, you know, it's their religion, you know, like every Sunday or a Saturday, they're going to see them.
No PSG supporters in Marseille.
No PSG, man, I think you get killed there. But, you know, in the contrary, you know, in Paris, there's a lot of Marseille supporters over there, so yeah.
Because I did an interview with you in the Norwegian Chelsea magazine a few years back. And it was in Norwegian, but I've translated a quote from you here.
Ooh.
Chelsea took over in 98, but Lyon, is that how you say it?
Lyon,
still has a place in my heart. If Chelsea were to face Marseille in the Champions League final, I would definitely be among the Chelsea supporters, even if it was played on Stade Vélodrome. Haha, I'm Chelsea and that's for life.
Yes, I back that quote, man, because there's something like, you know, like when I moved to Norway, I got a job, got money in my pocket, and the first thing I did was to buy a ticket and go see Chelsea. I didn't go to see Marseille. I went to see Chelsea. Yeah. And I remember that game. it was amazing. First of all, I was like, you know, I bought a ticket and the ticket was supposed to be shipped at my brother's house in London. And I was like, I was stressing him, calling me every day. I was like, yo, did you get the notice in the box? You know, did the ticket arrive? And the ticket arrived one day before the game, and I was already there. So I was sitting at the post office waiting for my tickets, and even the mail guy knew me by the time, because I was always asking, have you seen? So bottom line, I went to the Chelsea. I was sitting at the Shield end, and it was amazing seeing people sitting by themselves but singing their lungs out. And I never seen it. Like, I've been in Velodrome, some places they sing, but not all the places. But in Chelsea, like, that was when I discovered the British football, how enthusiastic they are about the about the game, and it was fantastic. And from there, man, I become an ultra, you know, like, I was going to say the H word, but
I remember going to my first game as well. It's like it's that feeling. It's like it's Nou Camp. It's like the Bombonera. It's all there for you at that one moment. It's all happening.
Yeah. For me, it's really just looking like you have the concrete walls, and then this small green just gets bigger and bigger. Oh, the pitch, obviously, and then you see it, and you see all the seats. And usually, you see a lot of seats empty because you're very early the first time. You want to see the stadium from very early on.
But for real, is it me or players look bigger on that picture? You there, they look big, you know. Like, I remember seeing Joe Cole. I was seeing Joe Cole, and I was like, oh, he's that big. Wait till I met him in the parking lot. Man, was so little. Like,
that's the last additional info I have on Cedric. He, as you can only listen to his voice now, but he is as tall as a building. And he's as loud as a lawnmower, because we meet Cedric in the pub and he will sing louder and more than anyone else. Which is very good.
It was, the Europa League final. We definitely sang louder than the Arsenal supporters.
You know, it's...
I don't know. Apparently there was another team in that game. I didn't notice them.
Yo, that team that dressed like Bran. You know,
and just about as good as Brown as well.
Yeah, yeah. Man, yeah, exactly.
Let's talk some football.
Yeah.
Yes.
Lille, we have a French guy here. We can talk all about him.
Oh man, I was so skeptical about that game because Lille, it's a very, very difficult place to go and win games at. You can even see like the top sides in France that are struggling getting points there. And you know, players, I wasn't very like scared about their players, but I was more scared about the atmosphere there, like the supporters. They're really behind their team, you know. And us having young guys who haven't been in those arenas already, you know, it's quite impressive. And going there and play the way we played, controlling the game and giving zero F. I was very pleased. I was very pleased. Some players, though, you know, like they were like, I don't know, but we had a great game, and you know, and 3 points at the end of it.
That was the important thing, wasn't it? They also closed the roof, didn't they? They have one of those fancy roof things. So can I ask this to people who know about like closed roof stadiums, like the Schalke one and stuff like that, and the Ajax one? Is it so every time it rains they just shut the roof, so it never rains when you're during a game if you have a roof?
Are we supposed to answer this?
I don't know. Anyone know this?
I don't know about it, but
it's probably if it rains a lot. What do you think?
I don't know. Because it just is like as soon as they get a little few drops, they just go no, close the roof.
How does that affect the atmosphere? Is it just
it becomes very like, you know?
Yeah. I don't know. Like I haven't seen. Like, I mean, I have actually been at the Lille Stadium many times, and I haven't seen them
closing the roof.
Closing the roof.
We have two teams in our group with closing roofs. Is that interesting? I don't know. I think it feels interesting, but I don't think.
Yeah, but those details. You know, like if we go into those details now, we'll start sounding like those. You know. fans in North London. I don't want to mention names, but I think like if you come prepared, closing roof or not, go there, do your business.
Yeah,
you know, and
yeah.
Do what you paid for. You know, and the, actually, we should be more concerned about the fans at those stadiums.
Mm-hmm.
Ajax have one of the most incredible fan base. It's going to be tough to go to Amsterdam.
Oh yeah, go there.
Another thought goes out to Keenan. I think he was going.
He was.
He had, but his, not no more.
His girlfriend bought him tickets to both the Ajax game and then one of the games at home in both the home game against Ajax and the home game.
Oh, it wasn't the away game, no.
No, it wasn't the away game. No, but yeah, he's not going.
Yeah.
Oh, he will miss the muffins. Mm. Yeah.
But yeah, no, I thought it was an interesting game. I think it was like watching like Chelsea play against like an even younger, more inexperienced version of themselves, basically. Because if you look at like the Lille team is just full of young talents, basically, apart from Jose Fonte, Southampton reject.
Well, Chelsea dominated and Abraham scored after 22 minutes. Very quick in the box. Turn around like a, I don't know what. But finish off.
Mm.
And then they, actually, the last two games, Lille played a bit like Chelsea did against Southampton. Very direct on the counter. And this.
How good did Osimhen look?
Can you say that?
Osimhen City. He was. Yeah, I mean, he thought he looked fantastic.
He was very good. And apparently, he's been scoring heaps.
The next big thing.
Yeah, a very aggressive camp. I think he came from PSG.
Oh, Academy. Is he one of those?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because they've got Turam as well, haven't they?
The Turam kid. Mm. But he'd been in Italy. The Turam kid been in Italy before going to...
And he went to Celtic, I think, as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but...
you heard it here first.
Am I mistaken? The one that we were talking about,
Osimhen?
Osimhen. He's a PSG... Was he on loan? Like I remember the comments the saying something about him like being in PSG but now being on the loan and stuff like that.
Yeah. Turan was definitely
When we were previewing the game we were more focused on Loic Remy, who obviously didn't play.
We didn't even come across the team. Just like he didn't for us, so
yeah.
You
know. Yeah.
Injured, I think. But I had an amazing season last year, though.
Did he?
Yeah. Got a couple goals.
Good for him.
14 goals as well, but...
They must have not invented the offside rule there.
Well, Chelsea, we're back to three at the back, or five, however you like to look at it, with both Aspie and Reece James.
Mm. How did we think that James did?
I think it was... Well, I mean... We talked about it last night, I hadn't thought much about it, but actually he wasn't around really.
No, I mean, I thought it was really interesting because you have, like, you have Mount, you have Abraham, and Morey have just jumped into the team, like, loving every moment and not having any problems, generally, but then I felt James was a little bit overawed by the occasion.
But you know, this is his second game for Chelsea. His first was against Grimsby. I don't know much about their stadium, but I doubt it's anything like near Lille's atmosphere. Yeah. Like you said, the atmosphere is probably quite scary for a young fella.
Yeah, he looked a bit overawed by the occasion, which is to be expected.
Yeah, he will have some of those games, as will the other youngsters.
Just to throw that in, people talk about Paris being a very, dangerous city and stuff like that. Lille is nothing compared to Paris.
Mm-hmm.
Lille is next level. Mm-hmm. And people from Lille, especially Roubaix, they are known for, you know, they give 100%.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you guys saw in the stadium, I think behind the goalkeeper, there were a section of the stadium that was dancing no matter what.
Yep.
Shirts off, holding each other like in those, you know, like Germans fans do. They're and singing, and I think for someone who's 18 years old, who played, was he Wigan was in League Two, League
he,
One?
He was at Wigan, yeah.
League One, wasn't Championship. Championship. Yeah, but stadiums are not that, you know, like full, like they're not that packed, and you come to. Your first Champions League game,
Absolutely.
50 and plus thousand people.
Yeah.
And that's it, you know, it's quite...
No, absolutely. I mean, it's completely expected to him for this to be a big deal for him. I think also, if you, I think there was an interview with Mount about his teammates, and he talked about Abraham, he talked about Tomori, and he also talked about Reece James. Everyone was like a big presence in the changing room. They made a lot of noise, but not James. James was apparently a little bit shy, a little bit quiet.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that just, it's fine. It just, it's going to, might take a little bit longer, and that's okay.
I don't know. I think, well, there'll be some games like this, but I don't know. I expect a lot from him, actually. I honestly do. Probably a bit unfair, being a young guy, but I mean, it's just the characteristics he's been giving the, you know, the talk about him. You know, I didn't watch Wigan last season.
It's funny, but, you know, he was the one that everyone was expecting he was going to be the best, he was going to do everything. And it's just like, it's interesting to see that maybe he might be the one who takes a little bit longer.
But then again, what is it, 4 games back? His game against Grimsby.
Yeah,
it was fantastic.
Yeah, fantastic.
Obviously, very poor opposition.
How crap will Grimsby, though? Oh, my God. I mean, when Ross Barkley walks past you, then, yeah,
worry. I agree with that, but you see, that's the problem we have, you know? We have so much expectation on this youth, you know? Mm-hmm. We have so much expectation. And then, again, we need to lay back a little bit and just, you know, give them time to, you know, to adjust.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Reece, I agree with you. He's going to be the one who's going to take a lot of time because he's playing in a position where he will have responsibilities and he needs to have character. Mm. And that's something that you don't just get at 18 years old. No. You know, it's something that you need to to develop. I don't know if you guys remember John Terry coming in the team.
Mm-hmm.
John Terry was, a lot of people was talking about him. But the thing with John Terry, he had that personality, you know. Mm. He was, you know, he's a strong guy. Yeah, but you can't even read James Reece. You can't read him. No, like, there's no face expression. You know, like, he's very empty. You know, like, I'm not saying empty, but he's like, you know, vegetable. Like, you know, like, there's no flavor. Like, you don't know, you know.
If you were struggling to translate that last bit, it's... Vetebolo, a wheat bun, basically. Yeah, I don't think that's an equal...
Porridge, I don't know, like some with no flavour. But the thing is, I'm just saying that because he haven't shown, and this is, and we can talk about Kante, this is what Kante lack as well. He doesn't have that, you know, Kante should be, you know, I go pissed when I heard that.
But then again, did you see the clip on him of Kante now, actually mad? He was a bit angry.
The tackle, and then the referee had to talk to him, and he was like, I was like, we need to see more of that, man.
Like I saw somebody say, you know, if you didn't like Kante as he's been a nice guy, who is this guy going to be? Because he, he's kind of, Yeah, but Kante, in the last games, has he been as good as we expect of him?
The expectation is like, you know, the Liverpool game, isn't it?
Which is crazy.
He is still a strong player on the pitch, but he was nowhere, the last two games he's been nowhere as close to as good as he always is.
True.
But then again, he still scored, wasn't it? Twice, was it?
Yeah, he scored against Liverpool.
And scored, in those two games. But I mean, I'd say since the Liverpool game in the Super Cup, he's not looked as good as that, you know, as normal, Kante.
Which is expected. Obviously, he hasn't been playing.
Exactly. But he still scored 2 goals, you know.
Then again, it's Kante because, you know, we saw him against Liverpool playing fantastic.
Oh my God, he was so good that game. It was awkward. Wasn't it? It was awkward for Liverpool.
Yeah.
Very, very. But this is one of the things, you know, people have been comparing him to Makelele a lot.
Mm.
Oh, he's just like but we forget that Makelele used to be the gaffer on the pitch, you know. He was bossing John Terry, you know. Mm-hmm. He was like, and this is what, you know, I think like Kante can really turn us up. Mm-hmm. If Kante takes his responsibilities and starts saying, you know what, I'm the guy. Because he's the man that we have, you know, like he's our Messi right now. Like, to be honest, he's that kind of player. But the problem is, like, he's not taking responsibility. He's like, you know, he's so shy. He's like, my leech, it's not my play. I was saying, like, I was a little bit pissed hearing that Jovinho is going to be our vice captain.
Really?
Yeah. Rumors. That's what I heard.
It's been confirmed now.
It's been confirmed, and I was like, no, shouldn't be. Kante been there longer. But the problem is, like, Kante is not the guy who's going to no. You understand, to take those to, you know, to be frustrated and go to the referee and talk to the.
Now it's two very interesting takes I have to talk about here, because obviously, you know, nobody criticizes Kante really, because he's so good, he's so lovable. Mm. You know, everything he does on off pitch, no, he's such a good guy. But I mean, I suppose if a kid could criticize him for something, it's not being
vocal
and yeah. You know, he has a very big part of the team that he actually could use in a way of being more of a captain material. But then again,
in the words of Steven Gerrard, isn't it? It's always about doing. He's showing it on the pitch rather than running around shouting at people like John Terry did. I don't think it matters that he isn't that vocal, because as long as you have other players in the team who are vocal, but we don't actually have that many, which makes him stand out a bit. But I don't care. He's amazing.
But I think that's Lampard's job as well. Mm. You know, because let me tell you, when we say vocal, we're more like directing. You know, like in a way, like remind Tomori, hey, you're not holding your line. Mm. Come up, go down, follow up. You understand? Like be that guy that is because Kante is a smart player. He sees the pitch. Mm-hmm. This is why he's all over the pitch. Therefore, it's easy for him to tell a player like, "Oh, watch out! He's running. Mm. He's losing you.
Yeah.
Do this, do that." And that, I think like Lampard could take that talk with him and say like, "I expect more of you. I want you to be the leader. I want you to start like excessive." Because Mourinho did that with Makelele.
Yeah.
Mourinho gave Makelele like, "Yeah, listen, do this."
But also, I mean, I think probably Sarri was the first coach that saw Kante and said, "You can do more."
That's not actually true, because Ranieri said that we didn't buy him as a holding midfielder. They want him as a box-to-box player.
Yeah, well, there you go. I mean, but in the sense that everyone thought of him as a defensive midfielder, even though it wasn't necessarily true.
Yeah.
But Sarri did see him and thought, actually, we can get goals out of you. Yeah,
and we'll see.
Yeah, and it's bizarre, isn't it? He's becoming more and more of a sort of a complete box-to-box midfielder.
Yeah,
I'm trying to think of a good example, but it's definitely not Makelele.
It's definitely not. But what are you guys thinking about the rumor now that he's maybe, you know, Real Madrid is interested in?
Well, good luck to them, because he recently signed a 5-year contract or something, didn't he?
So unless they give us a billion.
10 times what they
You've got Hazard, and you want the other guy now. It's like,
You can have Courtois, okay, but not Kante. No,
it's looking good for him, man. Oh man, I'm loving him, man. Every time I turn on the TV,
subbed at half time, sort of Mourinho-esque substitutions. We like that.
Okay, one thing. There's a lot of banter about Courtois, but I saw somebody making a rumor when he was subbed off at half time that he was suffering from anxiety and depression. Real Madrid had to make an official statement saying no, it wasn't. It was feeling sick or whatever, and he had a pain in his elbow.
If I had that defensive
who the hell makes a rumour about a guy having anxiety? What's going on in your head? That's so Porto.
If I had that defence in front of me, I would have anxiety and I would feel sick as well.
I guess, yeah. But on to the other thing you said, Jorginho. I actually love the fact that he's vice captain, because I think he's perfect for it. He's definitely the most vocal player we have on the team.
True. He's not as good as Kante, but he is more vocal, which is more important if you're going to be the vice captain.
Yeah, but what I said that was a big piece, because I was like, "Yo, Kante, get yours. You know, like don't let anybody step on you. Like get yours." But to be fair, does Jorginho deserve it? I believe it 100%, because you see he's the first to go to the ref. Azpilicueta is somewhere doing some, but Jorginho is like, he's complaining, but I don't know.
I loved it. I remember, like, as soon as he came into that team, he was shouting at people, telling them where they need to be. And that's great. That's what you need to do. Like, even if, like, John Terry, you didn't always do the right thing, But as long as you're telling everyone else what to do, that's fine. You know,
But we can just, anyways, we beat Lille 2-1 and then we've got better chances in the Champions League group. We're now on one loss and one win, 3 points, same as Valencia, and Ajax has been going on winning 3-0 both.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
so we're going to play Ajax the next two games. It's going to be tough.
We're going to play Ajax twice now. I mean, it's going to be interesting. I can't see it. I mean, the whole thing could turn on its head, couldn't it? We could beat Ajax once, and then we could be there, you know. And if we draw the other, there we are. Then suddenly we're favourites. But
it could be.
It's doable.
But if we, I think Ajax are definitely good. But are they better than Liverpool?
No.
No. I mean, we took.
They are damn impressive, you know, selling Frenkie de Jong, De Ligt, and
I think they're a really good team. But I'm not convinced. I mean, the way we performed against Liverpool. On those two games, where we really should have won both of them.
Yeah.
True.
Like, with Ajax is no surprise anymore. We know that they're good. They know that our team know that they're the best team in the group.
Yeah.
So we need to beat them.
Yes, but I think I've seen a couple games of Ajax.
Mm-hmm.
And playing the way we're playing right now, I think with the right people and going with the mentality of playing like a main, like, holding some key players of theirs, we can, you know, we can come out with 6 points. I think so. I think they will struggle. They will struggle against to hold Tommy for 90 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
They will struggle. And therefore, I think for Lampard, I think now he should mix it up a little bit and give that Dortmund duo a chance, because we saw how
they look good, didn't
they? Look,
yeah, they were good together. That goal they had.
Oh my god!
Let's just move on to Southampton because you know, that we can start at the end. You know, the way Batshuayi gave the ball to Pulisic, he just knew where he had him, and he ran past. And you know, you say a lot of things about Pulisic, but he's vision.
Mm.
It's so good.
You remember we were talking about it earlier, and I was telling you, you know what? I just hope, like, I think De Bruyne and Sarah are good example of what or things that we shouldn't be doing. Like, we need to keep, like, William, he's okay. Like, if he goes in January or in summer, it's okay. And we can live with that.
Yeah.
But if we lose a player like Perisic, that we may need 5 seasons, 6, even 8 seasons ahead. Like, how much do we suffer from the lack of De Bruyne or Sarah? A wing like a Sarah or a midfielder like De Bruyne, or even we can even talk about Lukaku. We can talk about that because these are the players that we failed to keep in our ranks and. We paint.
I think it's always the way when you have like an enormous loan system like we have, that there are many, that all those different players there are all different instances, they're all different scenarios. I mean, Lukaku was one where we had like 16 different bites of the cherry. We could have taken him at any point where we thought this was going to be, he's going to be good now, good. And then we bought him again, and you think, okay, now we're gonna have him. But it didn't work out.
Let me ask you something,
real
quick. when we sold him to Everton, who like we had Costa.
Mm.
Who else? Nobody.
I don't remember.
Nobody. Batshuayi, and Batshuayi wasn't even playing. Like he was on the bench, and I think Costa would have benefit of Lukaku being around him. But I won't talk about Batshuayi because he gave us the the Premier League against West Bromwich.
Mm.
But that's the thing. Like, there's certain players that we could have kept.
Absolutely.
Like De Bruyne, who like
when De Bruyne was like a clear situation where the manager didn't work with that player.
Yeah, Mourinho didn't want him.
I don't understand why. Like, when you have the opportunity, when like the club know he's a good player, right? Because they wouldn't have got him if they didn't think he was a good player. Yeah. Like, put him, set him on loan, You know?
Yeah. Well, they did for a few years.
Sell with a buyback clause, you know, whatever. Yeah. Right? But don't just sell him, you know?
Exactly.
Like, because some guy called Jose Mourinho thinks it's a good idea.
You know,
that's true.
The king of longevity, Mourinho, you know, I think he actually bargained in a few more million quid on the De Bruyne sale.
Mm.
Just to not get a buyback clause, which was a horrific decision.
But like again, like, and then to go to Salah, I mean, Salah is a complete anomaly. Like, there was no reason why he should have been become that good as he's become. There was
especially
nothing,
his finishing. I mean,
there was nothing that gave.
To this day, I've never seen a worse finish than he had against Shrewsbury when he's turning up just like he's now doing now for Liverpool, and you know he's done this against Chelsea and he's just banged it in the goal. But this time against Shrewsbury, he just rose-seed it.
Mm. I mean, I think it was a clear case of a player going from Chelsea, going to the Premier League, not hacking it at all, really can't do it. Mm. And then being lucky enough to go to... like.
But it
Serie
was really good for Basel against Chelsea.
Yeah, but like, I mean, going to Serie A and having a chance to play at a less physical league and to gain that confidence and maybe grow, I don't know, add some physicality and then become, you know, the player he is now. I mean, it's a coincidence.
Right, it's good that you bring the Serie A, because right now we have a very good defender in Torini, left back.
He's sold, isn't he?
He's sold.
And this is what I'm saying, that this is an area in our team where we're struggling. Because I'm so sorry, and I know Knut loves Alonso, but the man is killing us. Because, I mean, unless we're having free kicks, I don't see how he doesn't have pace. He's not strong enough to hold himself in his 2 feet. And he's so poor in defending. You were talking, like, we talked about the Southampton games, the goal, the Ings goal. Yeah. And we are arguing about either it's Tamori fault or Zuma's fault.
Because I don't remember which Southampton player is coming on.
He was on the left.
Was it Redmond who's coming on with the ball? Anyway,
yeah, Redmond coming on.
Yeah,
the ball.
Tomori trying to take a ball.
But then if you look at where Alonso is and where Redmond is. Mm-hmm. And how he get the ball, and the way he runs, and the way Tamori even lack of tackle him right there and there, and then the pass he gave, you just were like, it were like, I know if it was Emerson.
Because I think it's Zuma who was slipping in the market.
No, he wasn't.
I mean, what's his face? I mean, he had to go past, Valeri had to go past, what, 6 players to get to Zuma in the first place.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you can't blame Zuma. Like, and you can, because he lost his man, but come on. I mean,
and Zuma had actually...
he wouldn't have expected the ball to get there in the first place.
To be in the middle to see, like, if he crossed, like, if the pass comes up, then he has to be able to jump. So he's like, what do I do? And you remember the Jovinho save, when Tamori gives a back pass, which is... even me playing a Sunday league, I don't do that. Do you understand?
It's terrifying.
You know, it was.
But I think, like, to think about that, the only goal we conceded against Southampton happened on the side where we have Hudson-Odoi, we have Mount, we have Alonso. I don't think that's a coincidence. I think that's that looks like a clear problem area to me.
True.
Like, if you look at the other side, right, you have Willian from the start, right? You can say many things about Willian, but you're going to say he's probably better at defending than Hudson-Odoi is, right?
Yeah.
And then you've got Kante and Azpilicueta. Like, that's a better side defensively.
True. But again, there's something that I don't understand, because it's been, in Chelsea, it's been... for quite some season, where we play a 7 meters strategy, like we attack 7, like together, and we defend together in a way. Because, you know, back in the days, we park the bus, blah 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 blah. Because our wings used to come back and defend with the full, you know, the back line.
Yeah.
And exactly what you're saying. If we look at the goal we have conceded this season. No, not this season, but last season, it came from the left because some players are lazy. They don't come back. And this is what Kane was talking about in the last podcast when he was saying, like, oh, William, he runs back, he have a recovery pace and this and that. But on the left side, they don't have that. Hazard never.
never
went back. And now we have Hudson-Odoi. But this is something that I think Lampard should take. Like, it's unacceptable that at 18 years old, just wait for service. No, man. Mm. Go get your ball. Come hustle with the rest. You understand?
It's interesting. You think that there's a chance that... I think Lampard talked about that before, that his wingers needed to defend, right? Yeah. And that was what Pulisic wasn't doing before. What wouldn't surprise me is if suddenly Hudson-Odoi maybe goes out of the team and Pulisic comes in again. Right, not necessarily because Lampard thinks that Pulisic is much better at defending than Hudson-Odoi is, but that maybe Pulisic's been working really hard in training, right? And you go, okay, well, you need to prove it to him that actually that can pay off. Mm-hmm. That suddenly Hudson-Odoi might get a game out, and Pulisic might come in, and Twitter will go nuts.
Listen, what I want is to see both of them.
I would love to see both of them as well. Actually, yeah. Because
on the form that Williams have at the moment.
What form?
I mean, he was fabulous.
I agree. I think it's been really good lately. There's still this issue of his shooting, which is... Yeah.
Not only shootings, we're talking about greed as well.
Yeah, we talked about this before, because, yeah. What were your thoughts on this?
The thing is, he's a good player.
Mm.
And he's not... Like, a lot of people are saying, like, oh, he's in form and this and that. And I know... Look at what he's doing.
Mm.
Like, analyze the player. He is running less, passing less, complaining a lot. And like the goal he had, it was complete luck.
Against Lille.
Against Lille.
It's a typical William.
But the thing is, like, shooting, like against Lille, we had a contractor.
Against Southampton, he had a great assist. Was it to the Mount goal? Was it? Yeah.
Yeah.
When he dropped the ball. Perfect.
So
it was
nice.
Very nice. It's just the thing is, I kind of miss this from him because there's so many times you see him in position where he could have passed the ball, and he doesn't.
But if you think also, I mean, it's not only the pass that he makes for Mount to score, which is just so perfectly weighted, right?
I love that we have a very good compliment, but we really
But then it's like he waits, he doesn't pass it immediately to Mount, he waits until he's just in time, right? It's brilliant. And then also, not only that, it's the pass to where he beats three players or something, and then passes out to Hudson-Odoi where he misses. And you just think, that is, like, when he does that, he's fantastic.
Yeah.
But what Willian has is that he's not consistent enough. Like, so that is the problem. He has these dips. So last season, William was awful.
Well, I listened to this Norwegian Premier League podcast today, and they were talking about William. Like, all the time I hear about, oh, William is so good, he's so good. And I think he's this kind of player that if you see him once in a while, he seems very good because he's so good on the ball.
Yeah.
And he always, you know, has the ball a lot. But I think if you see Chelsea consistently, you will see that, yes, he's good on the ball, he has the ball. But he's hogging the ball. He doesn't really, you know, he doesn't see that pass that he should have done.
Mm.
And we lose start to own chances, really. Which is strange, because I see him on I don't see this when he plays, but apparently he's very on top when it comes to chances created and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, I believe
that.
Is, yeah. I think the penny's definitely dropped for William this season, that he's not going to play. Unless he performs.
But this is exactly what this William thing is all about. We lack senior players in that team.
Mm-hmm.
And he's one of the senior players that can perform. And that's the reason why he's in the team. But if we're going to compete, we need Perisic in that team.
When you say
Love him. Like,
you mean Pulisic?
Sorry. Captain America.
We can see if we can get Perisic.
You know, let's drop that name. Captain America. Yeah. We need Captain America. We need that Yankee, innit? No, but seriously, on a serious note, I think he's a player. I've watched a couple games in Bundesliga. He is amazing. He's an amazing player, and the thing that he has is that he's a team player. Mm-hmm. He doesn't work, and William is in the age where statistics have to go in his favor so that he can, you know,
have a legacy. Like,
now, you know, he can ask for a better wage.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, you in the 30s at Chelsea, you get 1 year top. We don't care, you William. Drogba had 1 year. I don't know if you guys remember. Mm-hmm. After he won our Champions League. Yeah, mm-hmm. That is a policy that we have. Once mm-hmm. you reach 30
until
years.
Until recently, though.
Yeah.
Who was the player that we just signed on another 2 year contract instead of...
Was it Giroud?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was Giroud. Yeah. He was supposed to get...
No, he had a rolling contract, didn't he? He had like a sort of...
what was it, Kane?
Like a mobile phone. He was kind of... You could just add another year. he was another player. It was who we gave a 2 year contract to.
Yeah, I remember.
Because that changed it.
Was it on
Aspie? I think it was Aspie. Aspie got 2 years because he's also in the 30s now, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the thing is... we're willing, and this is why maybe like he hugs the ball, he shoots a lot, and we're talking about him creating more chances and stuff. He knows, you know, it's going to be rough next season.
He's going to be training well as well, because that's the point, isn't it? I mean, Frank's talked about that 1,000 times. What they're doing in the training ground is what they're, if they're playing next week. So if they're doing well in training, they will play. So I'm presuming that he's doing it in training as well. So.
You can perform in training. Let me ask you something. We all followed Drogba through the years.
Mm-hmm.
He was one of the players that he didn't do.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, but that's the thing. Yeah,
in training. But then in games!
Yeah. Because that's the thing. I mean, you look at Manchester United and Lingard is still playing. And he's playing shit. And then you hear the interviews, you know, Solskjaer going, oh yeah, he looked good in training. What does that matter? I mean, if you have a player, you know he's going to show up. He's going to turn up on game day. It doesn't really matter, you know, does it? So I think if you're a manager and you rely simply on training...
That's like a very sort of... it's an old-fashioned way of thinking. Like that you go, okay, well, it doesn't matter what they do on the training pitch. It's all about what they do on the pitch. It's like, but how does anyone else get into the team then? If you can't
show up in training? Well, it's a combination. It's a combination, obviously. But if you have a set team, you have a first 11, and then you have somebody else doing their own training pitch or training round, whatever, you know, obviously, and you see, perhaps you should try one, you know. So if you're out of the team, you should definitely be performing in training. Everybody should, but still, I mean, it's...
But why don't I just make everyone train good?
I'd like that, but I mean, I wouldn't, if you have a good player, it's about winning. We're Chelsea fans, we want the team to win.
Yeah,
you wouldn't put a star out of the team because he's been
well.
You know,
that's what Frank's basically done now. He's taken Pulisic and he's gone. Okay, well, you know,
he was.
We signed you for 58 million, but I think someone's better.
Yeah, but do you know how he's been doing in training?
No, but that's the point. He's obviously not been doing well enough.
Yeah, I don't know.
No one knows, and that's
well, Frank.
You know, like to be honest, like that's Wenger mentality right there. When you see, like, yeah, you bought a player for such a big amount and he's not even on the bench on the night of Champions League against mm-hmm. Lille, he wasn't even on the bench.
Mm-hmm.
And you see people like, you know, you see players like Pedro, you know, you kind of wonder what's going on. Does he have a fellow with a coach? How is the relationship with the other players? You know, things like that. And you could see, like, let me ask you something.
Mm.
We all see the goal, their celebration.
Mm-hmm.
You saw that. You could see that him and Batshuayi, there is a relationship. But then you have the others. It's us two and the others.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, yeah. Like, you could see that there's something. And that is Lampard's job. And I'll finish with this.
Mm.
When we were talking about City and... Mm-hmm. When Pep took the team, he had big names in the team. Yaya Toure and stuff like that. He dropped Yaya, played De Bruyne. Look how it turned out.
They didn't give him birthday cake.
No birthday cake.
Yeah, but they had beef from before then. They had beef from before. But
yeah.
The thing is, he
beef
knew.
Beef and birthday cake.
Yeah, well. Beef and birthday cake. You know, it's like, no women on your birthday. But to be honest, to finish, he knew De Bruyne is the future. Yeah, it's done. That's the same thing with William. William is done. A Captain America is coming. We need to get in that.
Yeah, I don't think Lampard sees us that way. Because he...
No, but, you know, this is why we're talking, though. We're hoping that he will listen.
Do you think he's going to send a tweet or two?
But I think a lot of people were, like, maximising this as a crisis or whatever, like, Pulisic isn't playing. It's been 8 games. And he's been doing very well. He's, you know, level top when it comes to assists in the Premiership with, you know, with the Chelsea players. 2 assists.
You saying that because you're wise. and that's because you.
This is why you're on the show.
Yeah, you saying that because you're wise and you matured. He's what, 22?
Yeah.
For a young player,
he's not gonna get.
And he's on the gram, looking at all these so-called experts saying, "What's going on? He's not playing. Oh my God!"
ESPN.
You understand? ESPN. You know how Americans be? They be on steroids. You know.
It's in the beef.
Yeah. It's like you're probably beefing. You know, and yeah, it's no longer before Trump start tweeting about that. Why are you not playing?
just to drag it back. Wasn't it fun to see when Batshuayi passed to Pulisic passed to Batshuayi scored. Right, he go. He runs over to Pulisic, and they do their little thing. Yeah. And then Batshuayi does his thing with Zuma as well. They also have it all.
Yeah,
so it's just like it's team spirit, isn't it? It's nice to see all the boys, even the ones who aren't like nailed on first teamers, are all together.
Yeah, that's the good thing of having a young team.
Mm.
That, you know, that
Fortnite.
Yeah, it's they're all together. Tommy scored.
Yeah.
I remember seeing Batshuayi on the bench, you know, the Champions League.
Mm.
I remember Batshuayi going, celebrating, and I was like, nice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because when Costa used to score, I didn't see like Batshuayi being so excited. It was more like,
yeah,
I'm not going.
I was listening to this, as mentioned, this Norwegian Premier League podcast, and they were talking about the Chelsea. They seem to have a lot of depth. And the thing is, they wouldn't be saying that if it wasn't for Frank Lampard playing the youth, because they wouldn't be knowing about the youth, really. They'd be thinking, like, Reece James, who's that?
I mean, we're
Tomori, never heard of. But now they've been playing, and, you know, we see this team, and, yeah, we can rotate, and but
this
Frank still
is,
does.
This is what happens, isn't it, when you play young players who are good, right? That you're creating depth, right? You're creating options for yourself. If you don't play the youth, you don't create that. You don't have that option.
Mm-hmm. No.
Yeah. Well, anyways, Southampton, we won 4-1. And I was just discussing as a pop.
Which was your favourite goal?
My favourite goal? I had to go through them. Ibrahim, Kante. I never dislike a Kante goal. It wasn't good. It was a deflection.
This is every time the ball comes out to him on the edge of the box, you're like, it's going to be close. He's not going to sky it because he's tiny.
Right? Okay, so first one was Hudson-Odoi giving it to Tammy Abraham.
It was the backspin, the ball from Hudson-Odoi, right? He knocks it over, right? And because of the way he's hit it underneath, the ball is spinning backwards, so it's not going to bounce away from Tammy when he counts it. He gets a chance to have a touch and knock it in.
Can I just mention that I put Callum Hudson-Odoi on my fancy team and put him as captain?
I was talking to Keenan about this. I don't know what that says about you. Whether that's a good thing or a bad thing.
Now, I suppose my favourite goal was the Mount one, which
that was so good.
Villian is because it's fluent, you know. It's just
It's also the ball to that Jorginho steals,
mm-hmm.
and then he passes it not forwards in front of him. He passes it like almost behind him.
Mm-hmm.
Which makes it, you know, which makes the move basically, because it catches the defense unawares.
Well, let's talk one thing. When we win 4-1, we don't usually talk that much about it. But one thing I need to mention is the ref in this game. He was horrific. That was sincere. That was so poor. And my favorite incident was when we were talking about our two captains, Captain Cesar and Vice Captain Jorginho. Do you remember when Cesar was pulled in shorts? The linesman was, you know, centimeters away, didn't see it. And then his vice captain Jorginho, you know, he reacts because he's so annoyed and he gets
loves a two-footed challenge, doesn't he?
Well, Jorginho. He gets his mandatory yellow card as he does in every game. Yeah. You know? Revenge.
I mean, it's it was so dumb. It was like, well, the player's coming in, and who is it who's getting dragged by the shorts? I can't remember who it was.
It's Cesaro Spaghetti.
Yeah, and he's literally pulling his shorts off, and then suddenly nothing, right? And then the ball comes out, and then it's a counter-attacking opportunity, and then Jorginho's stupid and does a two-footed challenge. But like, and then he gets the card, and you're just like, well, you saw that. Yeah. Where were you? Like,
well, I think the refereeing thing, man, we can talk about every game. I don't know. Like, I think like Liverpool game. If there is a game to be discussed about, it's the Liverpool game. Because not only Liverpool's called their goals based on zero, nothing, and then they deny us a goal which would have changed the outcome of the game. But it's last season, same thing.
Mm-hmm.
This season, it looks like it's going to be the same thing. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I think that I have gave up on FA, man.
I watched the Inter-Juventus game. After the pub on Sunday, and I was just like, I was keenly watching the ref, and I just thought to myself that we are really Cedric has literally just tried to leave the room to open a beer. It's like we enunciate it here. but the ref looked so composed. He looked so in control, and every time there was a VAR situation, he just went over and sorted it out. It wasn't. Yeah, it felt so much better.
It was strange watching that. I also saw the style of it, and you know, Sarri versus Conte.
Yeah. And there was also like there was a goal that Juventus scored, and it was called off by VAR, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That it was offside or something. I can't remember. Yeah, Ronaldo scored, and it was all done in a fluid movement. They all knew what they were doing. It wasn't as no one was offside by a half foot or whatever it was. Like, yeah, it was fair enough.
Yeah.
Should we talk about, we would like to talk about Tomori, mentioned.
Yeah, I think Tomori is really interesting. I think he's just, the way he's come into this team and he's just sort of established himself as Frank will say, one or two on our team. And you just think, well, it's, if he can just be as good as he is, the scary thing is watching him, the three mistakes he's made in the last two games. I mean, toward the end of the Southampton game, it was quite terrifying. I mean, I don't know what was going on.
Not only that, we can talk about the Lille.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, it was it's three in the last two games.
Yeah, and I think that's the gambling when you're playing young players and experienced players, that there will come a moment where they will do those mistakes, you know, rookie mistakes. But
are they rookie mistakes, though? Like, I mean, because I've seen, like...
That pass, I guess, against the one where Jorginho save us.
Yeah.
It was a rookie mistake because, you know, like, when you're having opponents that close, you're not supposed to pass it to the back, where you see already that they're attacking the striker is so close to the goalkeeper.
Mm.
And another thing is, when you're a defender, please do not do too much.
Yeah.
You know, like, play it simple. You see, like, this is, like, look at the greatest defender in the game. I'll say John Terry. Start with John Terry.
Yeah.
Simple. Very simple. Control the ball.
But John Terry wouldn't get a game these days.
Hmm?
John Terry wouldn't get a game these days.
Come on. Come on.
You don't think so?
Come on.
No, I think, I mean, it's like, come on, not Chris, that I... Come listen, on. No. the whole world will... You know,
Rob, put in some effects or something.
No, but like, let's not confuse this, what I'm saying. What made John Terry a fantastic central defender is his ability to be commanding in the box, heading, strength, and his ability to talk. But he wasn't great with his feet, you know.
I disagree. He could strike a 60-yard pass with both his feet. Landing on every, and I don't think it was that weak with his feet. Really, he was slow, and
that's
you could always, but he was always compromising with his.
He was smart.
Yeah, he was smart. He was positioning.
He was a really good player to have next to Desai, for example, right? Mm-hmm. As in Desai could be the technical one, and with Cavaye, of course, right? But mm-hmm. you don't see that that often these days. You don't see two, one big one, one small one. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but
like,
well, Desai was.
But yeah, no, but no, the same thing. Yeah, I mean,
he was the technical one.
Yeah.
But you can have the same thing with Zuma and Tamari. Zuma being the big guy.
But that's where Frank's coming from. He's reintroduced that.
Yeah, but another thing is like where I don't agree is like Seri was good without the ball. He knew how to hold his line. He mm-hmm. knew how to, like, he was watching everything. And another thing is like he knew, like, he could study a player. You know, like mm-hmm. okay, I'm playing Henry. I don't need to give him too much room.
I don't
have to be close to him. Like I need, like I know, like Henry. If he gets a long ball, he be gone. Like he be like no time. So therefore, he will give him like 5 meters.
Yeah.
And then like that's it. The moment Henry touched the ball, he just, you know, frankly, like mm-hmm. goes a little bit back and then engage him when it start, like when Henry start really sprinting up. Spring on him. But Tamori, he's one thing. He's fresh. He needs to be like, how can I say, like Tamori needs, he needs like one more year. I think we'll see more of him next year. Like I think against Newcastle he should be on the bench.
Really?
Yeah, he should be on the bench so that he can
I have a suggestion. We're gonna do a rating, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Rank our defenders.
Okay.
But before that, we're going to do the drink of the week.
Oh, God, right. Yeah, I forgot about that.
So, yeah. While you're doing the drink of the week, Chris, is it frozen?
I don't know. Let's see. Yeah. So, I brought the Horn Brewery's Information versus Knowledge Berliner Weisse.
Oh,
right? Yeah.
I love Berliner Weisse.
So, but is it frozen? So I had to pop it in the freezer because it was warm. So let me grab some glasses. It looks like it's still fluid.
Yeah.
Looks nice though.
Mm.
Yellowish.
So, you know, Cedric, we have listeners from Nigeria and America.
Mm.
And Chris has this idea of doing drink of the week. And usually we have always just brought Norwegian beers, which they would never drink ever in their life.
Gonna get it. If you,
yeah.
So we have listeners from Nigeria.
That's saying, if you live in Nigeria and you like the sound of some of whatever we're drinking, and you send us a message, mm-hmm. we will send you a can of whatever this is.
Yeah, yeah, we can do that. We can do that actually.
My brothers, oh
yeah, it's coming.
Well, how do you end up with, because you posted in some,
this is look like yellow banana juice.
Looks really nice actually.
Oh
yeah. Have you seen these people like when they're being fancy? They're being fancy, like they're like na 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 na.
Careful now, I'm quite fancy.
Yeah, because Chris has poured this into wine glasses.
A wine glass, yeah, because you know.
It's really good.
It's an interesting
sort of really good.
It's really good.
I love Berliner Weisse. How did you end up with listeners from Nigeria? Are you posting in some Facebook group?
Well, you know, we just want as many people as possible to be exposed to the wonders of our podcast and our voices.
Yeah.
So yeah, and I try and spread the gospel.
Yeah.
And one of those groups is a group that's on a Facebook that has like 500,000 billion people on it, and consequently you get 4 people from that.
Nigeria is like 200 million, isn't it?
Yeah. So they have a lot of groups.
Yeah.
They have a lot of very enthusiastic Chelsea supporters. You know.
Yeah, yeah.
With strong opinions.
Very.
We should dedicate an episode to Celestine.
We are going to do that. We could do that next week, though, because we've got the.
Well, there's quite a few actually. You're saying Celestine Barbiaro, John Obi Mikel.
No, we've got the. We've got the.
Tammy Abraham.
Yeah, well,
the national break now, couldn't we? We could do an episode just focusing on Nigerian players, just for the Sydney, you know, as a.
As
a filler.
You mentioned it, though.
Well, let's rank the. Now that we have our drinks, let's rank our defenders. Because obviously there's Christensen, there's Suma, there's Rudiger, who am I forgetting about? Tomori.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So, okay, so What do you want us to do? Like 1, 2, 3, 4?
Yeah.
As in, which one's the best?
I'm going to... Yeah, like, who would you... Who's your number one and who would you start with? Yeah.
This is going to be really simple. Really, yeah. We're going to all say the same thing, aren't we, surely?
I'm not sure.
Well, I'm going to say what you're saying there. yeah, so for me, I mean, Rudiger is number one. I think Rudiger is the strongest defender we have. And I think Tomori is number two. Mm-hmm. Then I'd say Christensen and then Zuma. Yeah.
Yeah, because I have Rudiger as a clear number one. And I think Tomori, and the reason why I like Tomori, I mean, obviously you're talking about his man-marking.
Controversial.
No, but he's very good on the ball. And I think we need that in our team right now, because that's how we want to play.
Rudiger, Azpilicueta, Tomori.
As the central defender?
Yeah.
Ah, I don't like that.
Yep. I think Azpilicueta is probably one of the best defenders we have in the club.
Well, actually, this year he's been very much better offensively than he has been defensively. Like, he's been doing mistakes and he's been very easy to pass.
Well, that was the beginning of the season. Like, you see what he's done the last couple of games, he's looked solid.
Well, it's true. But that's Alonso.
That's why I said it.
Anyways, I'm going to say Rudiger, Tomori, and I'm not sure about Zuma and Christensen. I'm going to draw them. But here comes your Cedric.
Man, I'm watching the alcohol percentage in this drink because these people been tripping. I swear, man. Listen, I'm going to go with, you know, German muscle, Anthony Rudiger.
Yeah, that's what we agree about.
French Kurt Zuma.
All right.
Zuma, yeah.
And my Danish.
Prince.
Yeah.
My Danish Viking Christiansen.
Okay.
And then Emerson. No, we're talking about central.
Yeah, central defense.
Right?
Yeah,
central. Yeah.
Well, and, he mixed it up.
Then Zuma so will have to be.
Anthony, Rudiger, Zuma, Christiansen, Tomori fullback.
Yeah, okay.
See, yeah. I mean, he's the last one. And I'm sorry, Nigeria. I beg, brothers. you need to understand this. Like, okay. Listen, like, I'm telling you one thing, you know. Experience.
Mm.
Early in the season, we can't be giving these kids so much props. While we know what Christensen is capable of, what Zuma is capable of, what Anthony Rudiger. Because Tomori, he had a great banger. I will give him that.
Against Wolves, yeah?
Yeah, I will give him that. Yeah. But good recovery pass.
He has, yeah, he's quick.
But marking, zero.
Okay.
One-on-one, zero. You have a guy like Buffal, when Buffal came in last game, he was dancing salsa, man. Mm. I'm just saying, but it won't happen with Zuma, because Zuma doesn't give you that time. Zuma, you'll be down.
But then again, Zuma will perhaps create more chances with being poor on the ball.
On the ball.
No, yeah, well, I mean, there has been situations.
He's simple. He is simple. Look at him. Mm. Control the ball. Look around. Give it back. Mm. He's not trying to rush it in and then, you know, like do these fancy thing. No, this is not what we ask them to do. You know, listen. This is a job application you're doing, right? Someone comes asking for a job. The position is mark the guy, tackle the guy. That's all we're asking for.
But it's not all we're
head the ball out of the 16 ball, out of the box.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That, defend us. You know? We're not asking you to dribble. You understand? come on. I know you want to go.
There's a slight conflict of your proper English football and your accent here.
Yeah.
Smash it, love.
Being French.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean that I don't love British football. I really love British football. Mm. Like, I fell in love with Premier League a long time ago, and to me, Premier League is the best league out there. And some of the things that we're saying, in Premier League, there's no lambada, you know, there's no tiki-taka thing, no. Like, it's, I don't know, like...
You don't have the time, it's too quick.
It's too quick, it's too powerful, it's too direct, you know? And that's what I love about the British football. And, I mean... Tomori, maybe in two seasons, I'm giving him. I'm giving him. Next season. Not this season. But next season, I think he's probably going to pass Christensen. But I think Christensen may improve as well. So
I hope so.
I love the guy, though.
I think what's interesting with our central defenders is that with what I'm sure Cedric will disagree with me, but like with what we've seen from Tomori in the last three games now. I mean, barring the uncharacteristically weird back passes, right? But those are things that you can like get out of your game. Just don't do that, right? Don't pass stupid. Don't make stupid passes, right? We've seen so much from him now that he's actually going past both Zuma and Christensen in terms of his ceiling. Like, because if he can just iron out some small mistakes, right, then he's better than them. And you could argue that perhaps Zuma and Christensen are already at the point where you're not sure how much more they can get, how much better they can get. How much they're gonna know more about the game. They're gonna be more maroutine, right? They're gonna get more focus on it, right?
Yeah, but experience.
They're gonna have more experience, but are they gonna get any better?
They're the same age group, my friend. Like Kurt is what, 24?
Kurt's 24, yeah.
Yeah, 24. Christensen.
Christensen is 20.
27. 23, 27. Mm-hmm. You know, and he's the same age. You know, defenders play till 30. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think first of all, they're ahead of him. Let me just remind you where Zuma is from. Mm-hmm. Zuma is from Saint-Étienne.
Mm-hmm.
One of the best team in France. He was playing first team when we bought him. When he came and Mourinho knew he was young, I think he was 19 or something. He knew he was that good. You guys remember when we played Arsenal and the fastest man in Premier League, Walcott, took a ball one-on-one.
Yeah.
You guys remember that
time? I remember. Yeah. I even remember better than the one he had on Aguero. That was so good.
You guys, we all talk about Tomori recovering pass and we forget Zuma. We forget how he can be.
But only
Messi.
Now.
Messi.
Only now, I'd say.
Yeah, at the pub on Saturday, some guy said he would love to see Chelsea do a three-back line with Rudiger, Tomori and Zuma. Because we could play as high as we could be in the 16-yard box. We would just...
Yeah, and that's doable. Because Rudiger played right back in Roma. He was actually bought as a right back.
Mm-hmm.
Became a central back in Chelsea. So we can do that. Mm-hmm. If we're playing, you know... If we're playing that formation. But I think Christensen is good with his foot.
Zuma's injury, you can't ignore that. I mean, you think Zuma isn't the same player he was when we first signed him.
He's better, maybe. I don't know.
He is, like, he's still...
He's a conundrum because, he can be so good. I mean, against Grimsby, he was fantastic. And yes...
You keep talking about the Grimsby game.
People are, but people are saying that game was, against fourth division opposition. But he seems so much more reassured than he did against than he does in the Premiership. And obviously, people are saying that the tempo's high, but then again, the Grimsby players were running their asses off. I don't know.
Well, then maybe it's mental, But
could be.
The thing is, we have great potential in our defence.
True.
We have a very exciting defence at the moment, but we don't, their potential is there, but then we don't have a good defence at the moment. No. I'd say that.
But
that's because it's a collective. I mean, they have to work together.
Yeah, of course. But also individually, I don't think they're not quite there yet.
Yeah, but one other thing as well is that we don't consider is like every time we have chemistry, then an injury follows.
Yeah.
Emerson, good chemistry. Him, Christensen, Zuma, it was starting to pick up injury. Right now, we have Alonso. He haven't played for a long time. He was dropped by Sarri. So he came, he's not...
Well, he was very good in a wing-back position. But then again, I think lately, he's been very much better in the normal full-back position. Because I think it's a bit to do with how Lampard plays him. He doesn't put him that far up the pitch because he knows his speed isn't good enough. He can't come back. So I actually put one point down here. You know, we have a few criticised players in Chelsea that actually been creating most of our assists. Now, in the Premiership, we don't have any players with more than two assists. But among them are Alonso, Azpilicueta, who couldn't cross a ball for quite a long time. Pulisic, you know, people talking about like his crisis. He's still been enough on the pitch to, yeah. And not criticised, but, you know, haven't been playing much. Callum Hudson-Odoi.
But that was interesting to see that. I mean, like, as soon as Hudson-Odoi jumped on the pitch against Lille, he created the opportunity for Willian to score. Mm-hmm. I mean, but not only did he do that, he almost did it just before that as well. Which I think Lampard's clearly seen that he can be important.
He's important.
No, but he can.
Three assists in a row.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's true.
That's what I mean.
That's amazing.
And that just shows that like Lampard's paying attention and his decisions.
Yeah.
But shouldn't be a long time before we see him in the national team, and that brings us to the national break.
Uh-huh.
Because we could talk a little bit about England. They've got Mount, Tomori, as we've been talking a lot about, Abraham and Barkley. We are four people in the national team.
It's not going to be long until we have the entire fucking...
No. Well, there are a few more, because you have Reece James, you have Callum Hudson-Odoi, anyone else?
And the British?
Yeah.
But why are we talking only about the British?
Yeah, well...
I think the whole squad is going away, though. You have Kovacic.
Mm-hmm.
Going to Croatia, yeah. Kante back in France, Giroud back in France. I don't understand why Giroud is playing in France, to be quite honest with you guys.
Oh, really?
Haven't played a game.
No, that's true.
Karim Benzema is banging. That's another
depends
discussion.
Depends on what they do, isn't it?
No, but it's not depending. This is one of the things, like, I think like what people do in their private life.
No, I mean, it depends on what they do on the pitch. Like,
yeah, on the pitch, but Karim Benzema is the captain of one of the greatest teams in Europe, Real Madrid.
Yeah. Well, they used to be, yeah.
Used to be, yeah, I agree with you, yeah. No, fair enough. But, like, not only him, you have Lacazette, you know, like, you could bring, but he haven't played. Also,
he's been injured, I think.
He's been injured, but you have some players, but Giroud is going, Zuma probably.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen the list yet.
I'm not sure.
For France, yeah. For France.
I think so, yeah.
It's always interesting when the national break, as we call it, do we call that in English or is that a Norwegian term? Anyway, the...
International,
yeah. You know, because if your team is doing good, if Chelsea are doing good, you hate to see that break because you just want to continue on. But if you've been doing shit... You kind of, you know, it's a good break.
I think it's worse. Like,
but this time around, it's a bit strange because we have so many young players who's been called up, like the one we mentioned for England.
Mm.
So it's quite interesting. You want to see him play.
I think, it's interesting in the English, in England, that because Abraham and Tomori, Southgate's talking about how he just wants to see them play. And he wants to see them in training, and you just think, well, it's not really a cap then, is it? You know, just being like, I want to have a look at you. And so it might not be as important as it once was to get a call up.
But then you have all these controversy that we were talking about. Is Tomori and Abraham going to play for England or Nigeria? But then Knut said that they're all accepted to play for England.
They accepted the call up. If they play,
they have so they have to play so that they can officially be England's player. And you know, it's so devastating. You mentioned there's a lot of Nigerians listening. My brothers, it's going to be rough because these boys are going to play for England. Yeah, but. Could we blame them? I'm talking of an African now. You know, like, sometimes, you know, it's, for people back home, it's very tough to hear that a Nigerian is playing for England. But then again, is he Nigerian? Like, sometimes, you know, like, he's a Londoner. Yeah. Isn't it natural that a Londoner plays well?
Well, I suppose he has played all his youth among, you know, with the other
that's,
English
that's
players.
That's understandable.
That's the people he knows.
Yeah,
I don't know.
But this is exactly what I'm saying. This is where this is exactly why I'm saying it. And a lot of people, because I was against after the game against Saints, a lot of Nigerian journalists asked that question to Lampard.
Yeah.
Oh, can you Or what is your advice? And I really loved Lampard answer saying
he gave a good response. Didn't
it's not in my in my. It's nothing to do with me, and I can't say anything. And the entourage is going to advise them what they should do or not do. And the thing is, come on.
You know, back in the days, I would probably, you know, say play for England because there was always the African Cup of Nations being played in the middle of the season. So I remember when we had John Obi Mikel, you know, those players going away for, you know, like a month in the season. I hated that. But now the African Cup of Nations is in the summer, so I really don't care.
I said, I mean, as a person who has dual nationality, I think to myself that when what, obviously I was awful at football, so that was never an option. But like, if it was an option, I mean, if I had to choose between like Norway and England, I mean, if you were like a crap football player, then you know you choose Norway because you're more likely to get a game. But if you're banging them in for, you know, for a top team in the Premier League and you choose you have to choose between, say, Norway and England, I mean, like, you'd want to be with the team that's most likely to win.
But then again, I'm Norwegian and we've had a lot of, how do you know how to say this in English, Kosovo Albanians. Who there's a lot of Kosovo Albanians players who's been choosing to play for Kosovo. And some of them are great, as if you're English and listening to this, you will know, because they scored, was it, 3 goals against England?
Yeah.
England obviously scored 5, so they were better, but some of them are, you know, fluent Norwegian speakers and would be. But yeah, I think they're from your own place, Stavanger. You have two of the Berisha brothers.
Is it Berisha, Valeron and what's
his face? It was one that's choose Norway, another one, And yeah, he's good. Play for Lazio. Yeah.
Yes. Not good enough to get into the Lazio team, though.
Oh, really? Okay, yeah. Well, anyways, we're already tired of the national break, so we're going to go move it on.
Already bored of it, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, next game, Newcastle. They,
Jersey.
I'm quite happy that this international break is coming in between the United game and...
It's true.
You know.
They're fresh off a win against Manchester United. Like, that's a big thing.
Like, if we were playing them, you know, the next week after they... beat United with one of their own, you know.
Yeah.
Like, it might be a little bit awkward.
Well,
you know.
Anyways, they're 16th in the league. I think they've it's 2 wins, 2 draws, and 4 losses.
Just below United, then, yeah.
And I think they have one of the wins and 2 draws are at home. So, yeah, and this is in 8 games, so not good. And they've only scored 5 goals.
Mm.
And as you see, like I wrote,
but Bruce is back now.
Yeah, well, it's all from open play. So they're not good on set pieces, which is just
but again, God, slow your expectations. I'm telling you one thing. They are going to be hard to beat.
Yeah, I agree.
You saw the game against Arsenal. How long it took?
Mm-hmm.
It took a long time because they are really compact. In their back. And another thing is, they come in with zero expectations. They you know, like, wherever we get, you know, you understand? It's like, worst case scenario, we're going to lose, but forget, I'll win a point.
So never disappoint, always happy, always motivated.
Yeah, so this is why I think, like, we need, our lads need to be like, this is very important. And these are the games we're not supposed to be losing.
It's true, but I mean, with Surrey last season, these were the games we really struggled at. When teams went, you know, parking the bus, you know, two blocks of 4, just really blocking the box. I mean,
I'd say we're a different kettle of fish these days. We actually, you know, when you see us attacking both Southampton and Brighton are good examples, like teams that mostly wanted to just get out of there not being either drawing or not getting embarrassed. Like,
at the beginning, at least.
Well, generally. Like, it's sort of... The way we attack it's completely different. I mean, it's a lot more based on what each individual player does and how they see playing football, which is Frank's gone, you know, you play, you do you, and, you know, we'll try and win with you being creative on your own, right? Not just having set formulas like Sarri had. Both works, both are different. And it's showing, because we're launching balls over the top, we're going through the sides, we're going, I mean, it's all different. It depends on what works.
Well, you know, I think, Phil, you know, the first goal against Southampton, that was a, you know, a direct play. Hudson-Odoi, Tammy, you know, barely reaching it and chipping it over the keeper.
What was the first goal against Brighton?
Against Brighton,
I don't remember that one.
Wait.
The first goal against Brighton. What was that again? No, we're all thinking now. What was the first goal against Brighton? The first goal against Brighton, was it... it was a penalty, wasn't it?
Yeah, Jorginho, yeah. It was Mason Mount.
Mason Mount, yeah.
Oh, it was a second.
Okay, yeah.
Penalty was a second.
Was it?
Yeah.
Okay.
No. Second was William. William scored the second. And then Mount scored the first. No, Mount got fouled for the penalty.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm.
Okay.
What's your point here?
No, there wasn't. I was thinking something, but then it wasn't. Didn't tie it up. It's fine.
Yeah. Okay. So, what do we think? Are we going to beat Newcastle?
Yeah. I think it's something really important that the team remember to come back from like the international break and be like, okay, this is a big game. It's important to get focused, and that's Lampard's job. But I think we will. So I think it's going to be one of those awkward ones where we don't score until. Hopefully, just before half time. So, 2-1.
2-1.
Yeah.
Cedric, what do you think?
You know what?
We're going to hold you to this, and if you're wrong, you know, you're never coming back.
Let me tell you something, man. First of all, I'm honored to be here, though. Aww. I forgot to say that.
Honored to have you.
I'm seeing the sense that. The same scenario, you know. One goal before half, they come back, they equalize, and then we struggle till the end, and then bam, Batshuayi Perisic.
That is, I can see that happening.
A 2-1, definitely.
2-1, yeah, okay. Yeah. I'm going to go 3-2. I'm going to say it because we're going to have one of these games where
goals.
We're back from the national break. People are very happy, you know. Maybe someone got their debuts on the national team, whatever. And then a bit like airheads. It's going to be, you know, as we've seen, shit at the back and very fluent in front. So yeah, 3-2.
Cool.
Okay, just to finish things up, thanks for having you, Cedric. Very good.
Thanks, guys. Thank you very much.
It shouldn't be the last time, I feel.
No, I got time. Definitely for this. You know.
Either that or we can, you know, dress you up as Keenan.
You know, I love him, but he's so harsh sometimes in some plays, man. He's, you know, he be, oh man,
like, Rob has been saying he's throwing shade.
A lot.
Yep.
What is it he was saying about Captain America last episode? He was saying Lumps like to play British players.
We don't know. Maybe he has the first wrong opinion. Chris, you've been brilliant.
Thank you. You have been completely acceptable.
I've been okay. And obviously, we would love to have Keenan here, but we're trying to figure out. We'll figure it out
what we can do with him.
Yeah, we're probably going to Skype, you know. In the meantime, he'll be with our producer, Rob. Thank you for producing. And thank you to Rob's mom, if you can make Keenan some great Italian food.
What did we do last week? It was Tell Your Mum or something
Tell
like that.
Tell Your Mums.
Tell Your Mum.
All right. Thank you. Bye.